Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, assalamu alaikum. There are so many speakers this evening, and so much has been covered already. Let me just give my tuppence worth. Like Martin Smith, I was also born into the so-called monochrome Britain in the 1950s. And I recall it just as he did, though as I grew up in the northeast of Scotland, which, if something could be even more monochrome than monochrome, was absolutely that, where the restaurants closed at 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, and in any case, fish, chips, and peas, and bread and butter was the acme of cosmopolitan food, where Billy Fury topped the charts, and where the television was as black and white, as monochrome as the society. But that masked a very important truth about Scotland. Because although Scotland was all white, some of us were Roman Catholics, and some of us came from Ireland. And when my great-grandparents arrived, their bare feet on a cattle boat in Anderston Quay in Glasgow, which I later represented in Parliament, they were confronted all the way from the quay with signs saying no dogs and no Irish. Never mind the 50s, it was not until 1968 that in the Scottish city of Cope Bridge, the headmaster of St. Patrick's School granted the entire school a half day's holiday in 1968 to celebrate the first Roman Catholic getting a job in a bank in the city. So you see, the tactic of divide and rule, the playing on the propensity of poor people to blame other poor people for their economic woes and difficulties, is of very long standing and predates the arrival of people of colour or people of other than Christian religions in large parts of our society. It's important to remember that that cultural apartheid has not yet been abolished. Although in Scotland we get on rather better than we did then, sometimes, as at the Celtic Rangers game last week, you can see it re-emerge in all its ugliness. Rangers have got Muslim players who seem to be infected with the virus. It's amazing. I make these points to try to make the point that this is not just about colour, but it's mainly about colour. The reason why the far right are targeting Muslims today is not because they like Sikhs. It's not because they like Hindus. It's not because they like Afro-Caribbean people any more than they did before. They have fastened upon Muslims as a target because Islamophobia has become the most virulent of the strains of racism in this period. Though, of course, there have been many other periods in which other faiths and colours were on the receiving end of this. And how have they alighted on this? We in the anti-war movement said from the beginning, if you go around the world invading and occupying Muslim countries, if you go to war with Muslims abroad, you will end up making war against Muslims at home. Ineluctably, you will be required to, because you cannot pump the population full of enmity and anger and suspicion against Muslims abroad, but somehow exempt the 2 million Muslims in your midst. As Ismail Patel put it, who is going to make the judgment that the Muslim A is an extremist whilst Muslim B is all right? Who's going to make that judgment? The Daily Star? Richard Desmond? The EDL? These people are against all Muslims because they're against all people of colour and all immigrants in this country. Because they are, in the case of the EDL, at least their leaders, are motivated by the same fascistic germ that was referred to by the earlier contributor from the Jewish community. My last point is this. Well, two last points, if you'll forgive me. He's such a fan, David Cameron, of the rights of women and minorities, that he's just been to the Arabian Gulf. He's such a fan of the rights of religious and other pluralism that the biggest customer of the British arms dealers he had in tow is that well-known bastion of freedom, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, where Christians may not worship, where you will be whipped and imprisoned if you're caught secretly attending a Christian ceremony anywhere in the land, and where women are not allowed to drive cars, and where women are not allowed to set foot on the street without the accompaniment of a male relative. He's very comfortable in the company of the Saudi sheikhs, despite their lack of commitment to the pluralism that he demands that Muslims in Britain should sign up to. And my last point is this. There is no alternative to our point of view. David Cameron is fond of using that phrase, Tina, there is no alternative. But think, how could there be? Monochrome Britain is no more. There are now millions of people of different colours and creeds and backgrounds in this country. The only alternative, therefore, to getting along with each other is to have mass deportations of the people who are and look and sound and dress and pray and eat differently. And that's not going to happen. So it is a must that the different communities in Britain get along. And it is the job of the progressive people from whatever background to work tirelessly to that end and to find the maximum unity and the maximum creativity to build that unity in order to achieve it. And thus I commend the Unite Against Fascism and the other organizations who've organized not just this event, but so many events, utilizing the creative powers of our people, music and culture and all the other aspects that they have drawn together to make this great movement, which will have to get greater still. Because as the economy worsens, as the unemployment line grows, as the public services are steadily diminished, the siren call of the far right to blame the Muslim family on the street corner running a small shop, or the people of colour who seem to have a bigger council house than the ire-filled, poor, discriminated against white working class, discriminated against by capitalism and by the governments that support that system. We have to be on our guard. These are indeed dangerous times. Wassalamu alaikum. Thank you very much indeed.